Welcome to the longest running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike is here every Sunday morning at 9 with tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Mike. And now, the man whose first words were location, location, location. Here's Mike Kelly.
Good morning, Sonoma County. Mike Kelly, it is the Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday right here on News and Talk of the News and Talk of Sonoma County, 1350 KSRO. I am back. I am getting over my bee sting, such as it was. And I'm telling you, I've been feeling like funky the last week, though. I'm telling you, that little girl just really nailed me and got me, and my whole body was just kind of weird, you know. Benadryl, all that kind of stuff, you know.
So you're still taking that, or?
No, I'm done. Oh. But it's still, I just feel, just, you know, not my usual chipper, upper self.
Well, you look fine.
I look, well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate that.
And you just took a picture so you can prove that.
You should have said, well, you look kind of crappy too, Mike, you know, so.
Oh, okay. You look kind of crappy.
No, we don't want to see that. Okay. Well, we have a whole bunch of fires happening out there. My gosh, one of my favorite places on the earth is up in Trinity County. And, boy, they Whiskeytown Lake, they had the fire start up there. Looked like it was threatening French Gulch, and which is just west of Redding. And, you know, it's hotter and always hot in Redding this time of the year. But,
you know, they've been talking on the news about the heat wave we're having this last 2 weeks now, and it hasn't been here.
No.
Yeah, it hasn't been in Santa Rosa, I should say.
But, we've got Redding, a lot of people. Redding is just it's always hot during the summertime. I mean, and it's not in, it's dry, and it's, you know, I think we just have this statewide perfect storm of drought over the last, what, how many years? 7-8 years, and then, you know, all that timber, all that tinder, everything is dry, and don't take much. And this, I guess, this started because some guy was pulling the trailer and sparks or something, and, you know, that's what it takes.
It's too bad, and it doesn't sound like it's.
How's Lake County doing? Anything notice up there?
Well, Lake County isn't getting much better either. They've combined those fires. They now call it the Mendocino Complex.
Oh, I hate when they say complex.
24,000 acres.
Oh my gosh.
Structures destroyed, only 4, but then they say there's over 4,000 threatened, and there's a lot of closures up that way. Or actually not closures, not only closures, but evacuations in both Mendocino and Lake County in the Lakeport area. So,
well, the headline of the PD today is wildfires threaten Lakeport.
Yeah, you know. And according to the update I got, evacuations included is the community of Lakeport.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not fun. And I guess it's the new normal that we have smoke in the skies all the time now.
Yeah, really.
It's too bad.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, where would you go if you wanted to get out of here and get away? I guess you could go south to the coast, probably. You couldn't, if you went north or east, you'd run into the fire in Yosemite. You go north, you have the fire in Redding. I guess you go to Tahoe, and it's not, hopefully not too bad up there, but that smoke is, you know,
well, people were trying to make up their mind of how they were going to get out of here when we had our fire. You know, 101 was closed, and we were thinking, how are we going to get up to Cloverdale? You know, that's where our family is, and it's not a fun situation at all.
No, so just to be very careful, please, with anything you do. You know, when it comes to, you know, anything done in the summertime, especially barbecues, outdoor camp. I see those camp rings, you know, and everything that people have in all the stores nowadays, and people wanting to start fires outside at night, you know, because it's a little chilly, and just be extremely careful with those fires. Anyway, so the welcome to the show. This is a real estate show. We talk about real estate here on the Real Estate Hour. And today we're gonna chat a number of different things. Rent control, looks like rent control, the initiative did not make it. They did not have enough signatures to get on the ballot. They fell short, about 1,000 signatures are pretty significant. They did not really collect. They usually when they do these ballots, they like to collect 30, almost 40% more signatures because of the process of verifying all those signatures. And I saw the notice that came out, and it fell short, quite a bit. You can't have, somebody needs to be registered as a voter to really sign those ballots here in Sonoma County, and a lot of the people were just not registered. You should always, if you're going to register to vote, what are you doing in this country? Seriously. I don't know. Look who's in the White House, guys. All right. So you got to vote. All right. And, that's why we have a democracy. So it's a representative government. So you need to get registered to vote. So anyway, so that ballot failed, or excuse me, the initiative failed to get it. Probably we're knocking on the ballot. However, the city council, especially Councilperson Combs and Kersey, our mayor, are adamantly in favor of some sort of rent control, or what do they call it? They don't call it rent control. They call it rental. What do they have a nice little euphemism for it? Rent stability. Excuse me, rent stability. Rents are high, home prices are high. We're in an area that many, many people throughout the world wish to live in. However, the market has a tendency to take care of these things. And people have been saying, where's your market? Guess what? It's starting to happen now. And we have been now for the last probably 2 months into a market that's retrenching. Don't know where it's really going. We keep talking about this in our Tuesday Realtor Breakfast, where we have about 150 realtors and lenders who get together, and we basically market your properties there. We say we have a new listing coming up, or we have a property we need to sell, blah, 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 whatever, and we explain what it is. Then we also have all you buyers out there, your agent, if they're worth anything, is down at the breakfast trying to find that elusive property for you. Right now we have just under 1,100 active showable listings, which is up substantially. But the sales are not there. So we're starting to see, if the sales aren't there, then we know we have resistance in the marketplace. And that could be a number of things. Resistance could be also, just the sheer unaffordability of real estate here in Sonoma County. When you have a medium home price of $705,000, that makes it skinny for a lot of people. You have to have an income of probably close to $110,000 to $120,000 a year to buy the medium home price. Now, remember, guys, the medium home price means half is above and half is
below.
Thank you. See, Joe listens here. Joe's just not a pretty face. So I'll say that again. Joe's just not a pretty... Sorry.
Well, obviously, Joe's not just a pretty face, but I still never did understand that. So you got the highest price and the lowest price, and those...
What's in the middle is the median.
Okay.
And it just shows you where the action is in the marketplace. That's pretty the best way to do it.
So it's different than the average.
Yeah. Oh, no, God, yes, yes. Okay. No, averages are just totally skewed to be there because you can have that one big sale.
Right.
And then it just blows everything out of the water. Really? So the median home price, $705,000, which means that half is above and half is below. And so the thing is that don't let that $110,000, $120,000 stand in your way of qualifying for a home, because there are plenty of places in Sonoma County where you can find that elusive home in the $400,000 to $500,000 range. We're seeing more and more of it. Matter of fact, I have a property I'm going to talk about when we come back. Also an open house, some other things. So we'll take a break. Our call-in number is 636-1350-636. I can't get my tongue to work today. It's that part of that bee sting,
Where's the
where's the phone? In there? 636-1350, 636-1350, right back after these words.
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on KSRO.
The Drive with Steve Jackson.
Rick Wilson.
This is not a woman who has missed out on the fact that a large amount of the coverage of her husband's behavior in the last couple of years has been about which porn star he's screwing. That prenup must be a monster.
Afternoons here on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. Good morning. Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday morning right here on the News and Talk of Sonoma County. 1350 KSRO, 103.5 FM, 94.5 FM, and I know that because I'm looking at these huge screens that have those numbers on them. Anyway, so we're having an open house today, and we're going to meet with the sellers regarding this property. It's the one over on 1120 Hexham Avenue, and Hexham Avenue is over there by Franklin Park. You just go up Danbeck over to Evelyn and go to Hexham, where you can come up Hidden Valley Road, Hidden Valley Drive, that is, and make a left on Northwoods, and then you run right into Hexham. But, you know, this has been on the market for a while, so, you know, we're chatting about a price reduction. The price is $765. It's just that it's such a big house for the money. It's 2,335 square feet, you know, three-bedroom, two-bath home. Kind of a California bungalow meets a mid-century. If you're in the mid-century homes, this has a living room that is gigantic. It's just pretty amazing. I'm going to have Lorna Korak. Lorna Korak, C-O-R-A-K. She's a realtor with Keller Williams. She's going to be over there today between 1 and 4 having an open house. So go over and say hi, Lorna. I heard you were going to be on in the open house today. Mike told us to come over and see you. You know, it's a huge 10,000 square foot lot. You know, there's plenty of room for a ADU. The property would lend itself very well to a accessory dwelling unit because of the lot size. You know, and the cool thing about it is that it backs up to Franklin Memorial Park. So and there's a gate. All the neighbors along that stretch of the Memorial Park have access. So it's a great place to go walk and, you know, and hang out and this kind of thing in the morning. But it's got a separate detached garage, which would really lend itself very well for an ADU, which is accessory dwelling unit. So she'll be there 1 to 4 o'clock. Price is $765, 2,335 square feet. So big house, big lot. Mid-century, we know a lot of you folks love mid-centuries. So go out and see her today, 1 to 4 o'clock, she'll be there. Lorna Korak, when she's with KW, and she'll be there. And she's a agent who's just enthusiastic and would love to talk to you about buying this property. So go out and see her today. And have a number of other properties that we want to talk about. We're talking about affordability, 529, I have a house over on Blackstone Court, and we're not showing that until the tenant vacates. She's going to be moving, I think, over closer to her son's school, but she'll be here for another year, and then she's going to be probably buying someplace anywhere in the country, she said, because she wants her kid to finish school, which is often the case. But it's on Blackstone Court. It's about 1,150 square feet, three bedroom, two bath, big yard on a cul-de-sac. Blackstone is just off of Canyon. If you go Benjamin's to Canyon, then Blackstone Court. And I'm sorry I don't have the exact address, but we really don't want to disturb the tenant. There's my sign is out front, so you'll have a pretty easy time finding the property. But, you know, it's $529. So, you know, you talk about affordability, that's substantially under the median home price. So, you know, if you're looking for a great starter home, I was going to, you know, say rental. It would make a great rental. It's been rented out for $2,500 per month. For the last, I think my clients have owned it for 11 years, so it's been rented quite a while, and the management company is Dee's Rentals, our friend Keith Becker over there in Crystal. They do a great job of property management, so it'll be on the market probably August 1st, so stay tuned for that. Then also, you know, my property out there on Grayton Road, 12789 Grayton Road, boy, if you want your own little bohemian grove, what did you like your own little bohemian grove, Joe, without the bohos? You know, so the and it's literally 5 minutes from Grayton, 5 minutes from Occidental. It's about not even 20 minutes from Santa Rosa. But the cool thing about it is it's on 3.5 acres, and the house was really redone. I found out it was built in 1904. And if you looked at the house, you would say there's nothing left of 1904, and there isn't. But it's got a great history. It was a stagecoach stop, Joe, at one time. In 1904, they used to still had stagecoaches in those days, right? You know, I guess when was the car, the automobile, in 1920s, probably? Yeah, teens, you know? Yeah. So they still had, and it was also then a speakeasy in a bordello during the Prohibition era. I talked to all the neighbors came over and give me all these stories. I love about open houses. Your first open house you have, you get all the neighbors. And it's cool because you can just pick their brains, especially if you're especially this property over on Hexham. It has such a long history, deep history. They have a picture of this property in 1949, the one on Hexham, and there's nothing around it at all. No trees. Montecito Heights is in the distance, and there's nothing there. There's no houses. There's no trees. It's like just kind of like a barren, kind of rolling hills, you know. So all those trees you see up there in Montecito Heights, all those houses, they were not there in 1949, the year I was born.
Wow. Things have changed, huh?
You know, when I hit the planet, things started changing, Joe. What can I tell you?
Whether it's for the better or not.
He's got to go, yeah, right, Kelly. But it's really kind of cool. So the nice thing about it, that, so you have them up in the houses and you meet all the, and you can tell a neighbor because they're usually always walking in and they got their sweats on and all that kind of stuff or their walking shoes. I always say, you're a neighbor, aren't you? And they go, yeah, how'd you know? I just could tell. But you get all the history of the property. So this property over on Grayton Road has this great, really, history. Really unique, and remember, it's stagecoach stop. So that was the old trail, Grayton Road, over to Occidental. You know, and then during the Prohibition, people went up to the river, and that was a stop they made on the way to get a little bit of, you know, get a heat on going there, you know, and drive in Monterio or pick up a bottle for the weekend or whatever you wanted to do. But it's right now, it's a beautiful house. They've done a great job over there remodeling it. In the 3.5 acres, it has Purrington Creek runs through it, and it's got a bridge, steel bridge, which can hold a fire truck. And it also held a large cement mixer because they poured a beautiful slab up on the hill. The previous owner had cleared out about 1/2 acre of redwoods and opened it up, and there's a lot of light up there. He was going to put a riding arena and a barn. But there's also a septic system, an additional septic system installed on the top of this property. So it'd be really cool. You could go up there and put a, you know, granny unit up there, ADU. You check with the county about how big of a home you can build. I think about 1,200 square feet is the max. But it would be just a beautiful area. You could have the house down below. You could use as a rental or a vacation rental. You'd check with the county on that also, and then build a really nice retreat up top, or, you know, full-time house up up in the area there. Good well. The people all along there, I was talking to them about, people are on various spring boxes and various wells and that kind of stuff. The whole Occidental area is a pretty water-scarce area, but he's got pretty good water. So anyway, so that price on that is $1,165,000. And, you know, if you have so inclined to take a look at that, you can call your agent or just give me a call. You can always call me on my cell. You can always text me on my cell. If you had a question right now for real estate, Joe, you could just text 322-8503. Don't you text, Joe. Okay. 322-8503. If you had a question you wanted to ask me, then there's also nodumbquestion@gmail.com. So the go out and see, you want to see that property. And also, you know, I got one more I'll tell you about, and it's up in Monterio, my old stomping grounds. I was raised in Guerneville, as many of you know, 19650 Redwood Drive, This is a FEMA raised house, three stories, garage down below, second level, third level, all done by FEMA. They added two bedrooms to it, so it's a five bedroom house, and it is party central. I mean, this place, if you wanted a vacation home, the price is $805. It's literally 3 minutes to the restaurant golf course. And there's a little lane you go down, you make a left on this private road, and you are right there. I would buy myself a golf cart, Joe. I would park it in that garage. And when I went up there, man, I'd get my little golf cart, get my clubs. And you're literally right there. You could have breakfast, you know, before you go tee off, or go tee off, then come back and have lunch. I mean, what else do you, that's what Guerneville's all about, hanging out in the redwoods and all the kind of cool stuff. So that price is $805,000. The address is 19650 Redwood Drive. Okay. I think I'm done with all that stuff, Joe. And then we talked about, you know, I think July sales are going to suck. I think July sales are not going to be, you know, I think June, this is going to be a weak summer. It's just gearing up to be a weak summer, and I'm trying to figure out why. Because I mean the interest rates are definitely not what they were before, but they're not that dramatically different. You know, 4.5, 4.75, maybe 5%, depends what your credit rating is. But I think that 705 number is just scaring the bejesus out of people. I think a lot of people are going, okay, do I want to buy right here at this time in this market here in Sonoma County? Maybe at the peak? Because we all know what happened back in 2007, 2008, when the market, you know, totally fell apart. But, you know, remember, there's little to do with that market then and this market today. Right? Number one, we don't have the vast amount of speculation we had, you know, back in 2007, 2008. We didn't have the easy money. It's hard to get money nowadays. So you didn't have people building thousands and thousands of homes that people would buy and hold on to for 6 months and then flip and make 50 grand and go on to the next one. So we don't have that. We don't have that easy money. So this is a constrained, you know, market. Hence, maybe the reason why we don't have the sales. But I think the other reason is that people are just a tad scared of where this market may go. So we're going to come back and talk about more about that. Also, we work a lot with fiduciaries and folks who are selling estates. We're going to chat about the process of what happens when you inherit a home, when someone passes, and you are now the trustee of the estate. We'll take a break and come back. More with the Real Estate Hour. I'm Mike Kelly.
Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
Dead in the wildfire burning around Redding in Northern California, two firefighters and three members of the Bledsoe family. Neighbors say the fire moved so quickly through their neighborhood that an evacuation order never came, that homes were exploding. Other fires forcing evacuations were in Napa County and Mendocino County. A few houses burned in the latter location last night. President Trump tweeting this morning that he would be willing to shut down the government if Democrats don't vote for immigration and border security he wants, including a wall. Congressman Ben Ray Lujan, New Mexico Democrat.
Democrats are standing strong when it comes to a comprehensive immigration reform conversation with the American people that is fair, that is tough, and that will be good for America.
On how much of an impact the recordings former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen has, or the reports about the Trump Tower meeting, former federal prosecutor, ex-New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, now an ABC News contributor.
This is incredibly irresponsible stuff to be out there. It is not in Michael Cohen's best interest.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Sunny week ahead for the North Bay. Maybe a couple clouds today. High 88, 69 on the coast. Partly cloudy tonight. Low 56, 54 on the shores. Blue skies for Monday at 88, 72 in Bodega Bay. Tuesday, sunny at 88, 72 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. Good morning, Mike Kelly. This is the Real Estate Hour. Just wanted to remind you the open house we're having today at 1120 Hexham Avenue. Lorna Horak will be there. She'll be there 1 to 4 o'clock. Prices $765, 2,335 square feet. Big house, big lot, 10,000 square foot lot. So, you know, a lot to love over there. Go check it out and bring us an offer. You know, and I think, Joe, what we're seeing is folks are starting to, I hope, get over the thing about, well, geez, I can't write it for that. I mean, you can write an offer for anything. You may not get it accepted. But, you know, I think we need to get over this thing about, well, it's either full price or it's over, right? No, that's not the case. We just closed a transaction for one of my investor clients. We did an exchange, which is always fun. We had 45 days in which to identify our move-up property. So we had sold a duplex, and the whole plan is to buy a single family and eventually, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road, maybe move into that property and use it for the rest of their life and sell their other house, which is much bigger and in a different area. And this, you know, downsize. That's what people are doing, you know, when they're, you know, they're we aging baby boomers. But the exchange is always fun because once you pull that trigger, scoop, I said that word, excuse me, I wasn't going to use pull my trigger anymore. But once you go ahead and commit to getting that exchange done and you close your escrow on the relinquished property, it means the property you're exchanging out of, you've got 45 days to identify. And guess what, guys? The IRS doesn't say 46 days. It'll say 47 days. It's 45 days. And you better identify something. So we were out scrambling like crazy. We wrote probably 7 to 8 offers, and some were full price, some were over. This one particular property, though, it was listed for $789. We got it for $695. And people would say, what? You got it for almost $100,000? Yes, we did, because it had some issues, and we kept coming back. And I think they had initially had priced it way over the market. And some agents do that. And they're not doing it because they're dumb. They're not doing it because they don't know anything. It's just that they're looking at their clients saying, okay, you know, I think we may want to try this price. And we're seeing a lot of that in the marketplace. When you look at the home prices and what things are selling for, you almost, you know, it's very enticing to list it at maybe a new level, hoping you're going to get that. Well, I think that market has left us. I think the days of putting that home on the market for substantially maybe over the last comp, to set a new price point is gone. So we may have to start, guess what, looking at the comparable sales. This particular property, we got it for a good price, and I didn't let the price get in my way. I never do. If there's a property we see the value, we come in and make the offer. Now, I've had some really lowball offers, which are $200,000 or $300,000 under the asking, which I think is kind of silly. But hey, why not? I mean, you give it a shot. But there's certain things I look to that kind of scare me, and when I see a really super lowball offer. Then I see it's contingent upon them selling the home in an area where the price seems way out of line, you know, for that area. And then there's an assignment clause in the contract where they can assign the deal to anybody else. I'm kind of going, okay, wait, what's going on here? Somebody's trying to make a fast buck here by maybe getting a property way below market and then, you know, turning around and assigning it to a buddy of theirs and maybe walking away with $25,000 in their pocket, which is not uncommon to do. So there's all sorts of little tricks out there and things you need to watch out for. So those are kind of red flags that are thrown up at me, and I just basically say, no, we're not going to do that. So skip it. So you reject that offer and move on. But overall in the marketplace, there are, you know, offers that you can get, and I've seen properties where we had made offers on that are still on the market. And I think what happens is that sometimes we get a little greedy as far as agents are concerned, is that we'll say, okay, I'm looking at, there was one property I think was on the market, they were not looking at offers for almost 2 weeks down the road. I'm going, 2 weeks? What are you doing? You know, I could say maybe, 5 or 6 days if it's still a really hot property. But now I think you're seeing more and more properties that are being offered as we'll take offers as they come. There's a strategy when the market is really, really hot and there's multiple offers running around where you may want to gather up, listings at a certain point so there's no foot race. People have got to kill themselves trying to get an offer to you right away. We've talked about it here on the show, quite a bit, so I'm not going to go into more details about that. But we're starting to see the market definitely shifting. And it'll be interesting, to look at where the sales are going. Right now, if you look at June and July, we had June and July and August, that's summertime prime time for us. The sales are way, way off from last year at this time. They're almost 150 sales, sales off from last year at this time. So it's not looking good, and I think we may be running into that proverbial wall out there that says, if you're asking these prices, I don't know if I want to be in this market. Now, you got to kind of look at where the sales are at, and see what's moving. And we'll discuss once again, probably about the first week of August, just what the July sales look like. But right now, they're woefully behind. The $1 million market price point is pretty much right on track to be the same as last year. So that's still probably going to be an active marketplace. But the current state of the sales right now is they're off about 50 for the month of July. So we shall see. I'm just constantly monitoring this market because it is so skitterish, so to speak. So you're inheriting a property, and we work a lot with fiduciaries. Fiduciaries or professional fiduciaries are usually folks that are appointed by the court to manage an estate, and they're really tireless individuals who really take on a lot when they become a fiduciary. We have two properties right now that are estate owned or estate managed by the courts, and one is a property we have on Grace Drive, which we've been threatening to bring onto the market now for 2 months. It just keeps sitting there, and the price on that is $649, and you know, it's going to be eventually put on the market, but we just had some estate issues that popped up again, so we need to work through that. And that's the essence of what happens when you get into any like court-appointed managed properties, is that you're trying to sell these properties either to, you know, generate money to take care of somebody, where say the seller or the owner of the property is conserved, that there's somebody that is going to be appointed to manage that that person who is conserved, so they have money, you know, starting from now and through the rest of their life. There could be a large substantial sum of money. You know, there's other people that come into play, financial people who will be managing that money, you know, for the trust, this type of thing. And so you have different folks involved, you know, the attorneys that do this for a living, the estate and trust attorneys, the fiduciaries. It could be a family member who is volunteered or who is in the will as the person that's going to manage the estate. And remember, guys, you know, if you put your oldest kid as the manager of your estate, you know, they're not going to get along with everybody. I mean, especially if you got a substantial estate and, you know, Brother Joe is running the estate and all the kids are want money and they're all going, why don't you sell that darn property now, quick? And it gets real ugly. That's the nice thing about using a fiduciary to manage your estate, is that, you know, they're appointed by the court and they pretty much go off your wishes. You who are no longer here, you set it up in a trust, you know, and basically say, look, this is how I want my estate handled. And, you know, there's also what we call dynasty trusts, where it doesn't maybe go to anybody that's still living. It goes to the next generation, you know, and that way you avoid all the craziness, you know, of having people inheriting property. And you let them know up front before you pass that, look, you know, my estate is so large, I'm going to be using it for this and for that and for that. You kids got your money. I mean, Warren Buffett, you know, he's already given his kids, I mean, it was amazing, Joe. He gave his kids, I think, $35 million each, so they could have their own, not trust, but their own charitable giving. Because Warren Buffett believes that if you die a rich man, you die unsuccessful. He's like Bill Gates. Bill Gates knows how to give away money. Believe me, the Gates Foundation. So he gave all his money, not all of his money, but a huge portion of it, it's going to go to the Gates Foundation, because Bill Gates understands how to give away huge fortunes, like obviously Warren Buffett. But he gave each one of his kids, I think he's got three kids, $35 billion each. Huh? Yeah, what a family. Huh? What a dad. You know, but they're what they are, though. They're not the kids are not getting that $35 million. It's being held, you know, in a charitable trust. So the kids are going to be allowed to give away that $35 million. How to become popular, right? Yeah, I got $35 million. Boy, do I want you on my mailing list, right? But I'm going to invite you to every party I've ever had. But so there's just different ways you can handle your trust, but the fiduciaries are the people who will take care of this. And instead of putting the onus on your kid, you know, have the trust. We're going to come back and chat about some of the things you do during the process of bringing the property to the market, and things you could look out for, like, do you have the proper insurance, the financials? There's all sorts of interesting stories about that. We'll take a break and come back more with the Real Estate Hour. I'm Mike Kelly. Call the numbers are 636-1350. I can't pronounce that. 636-1350. Sound a little, Katie? My tongue is like, yeah. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on KSRO.
The Drive with Steve Jackson.
Michael Hayden.
The Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, was asked at Aspen about 2 hours ago, so what happened in the private meeting? And he had to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
Afternoons here on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
If you're selling a home in Sonoma County, you know the fires have changed everything. It's more important than ever to have an agent who really knows the market. That's why you should call Mike Kelly.
It's a different landscape these days. You're dealing with insurance companies, lawyers, inspectors. I can help you get through all of this stuff and sell your home the right way with less hassle.
If you've been affected by the fires, you need the Mike Kelly difference. Let Mike use his Sonoma County resources and connections to get you through all the obstacles and his market knowledge to help you set the right price.
There'll be a lot of homes coming on the market, so now's the time to list yours. Show me your home and I'll show you three quick and easy tips to maximize the return on your investment, even if you don't use me.
If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Find Mike at MikeKelly.com or call Mike at 707-322-8503, 707-322-8503.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
That would be me. More fun, yeah. So, you know, we have the official numbers on the rent control ordinance, just in case you folks want to know. They were supposed to get the valid cinches. Oops, sorry about that. My little thing just disappeared on me. Stop that. Stop doing that. Okay, this is from the city clerk. Is it? It required 88,965 valid signatures to be considered sufficient enough for the to get it on the ballot. The total number of valid signatures was only 7,895. Therefore, the petition was found as insufficient. So that just happened on, I think, Friday or Thursday. So that's we'll see what happens with the city council. They probably will consider doing something on, in, you know, when it comes to rent control. We don't know. Rent stabilization, as they call it. So stay tuned for that. We'll keep you posted. So we're talking about, you know, selling a home that you've inherited. You know, one of the things you need to do is check your insurance. Is that because you could have insurance that will pay you to manage the estate. Now, also, if you are managing the estate, you do get usually some sort of funds to manage that estate. So just be aware of that also. And this is where, if you're the brother, the eldest brother, sister, daughter, whatever, of the estate, and you're the oldest kid, this is where you get into trouble, because they're going, what are you taking money out of mom's estate for? That's our money. You say, well, I have expenses, I'm doing this. Well, why should you? You're going to get the money anyway. Why should you? And that's where it starts. So, like I said before, I mean, do yourself a favor. Do your kid a favor. Don't make them the trustee of the estate. Get somebody professional in there that can handle it. There's plenty of great private fiduciaries out there that are professional, know what they're doing. But if you are in that position, or you're in a position where there is a trustee, and it's a fiduciary, they will contact you, and they're pretty well cut and dried. I mean, a lot of them, obviously, they have the estate is basically the instructions of the estate are what they go by, because they're appointed by the court. So they're named in a trust as the person who will manage the estate for the deceased. And so there's things you got to watch out for. And first thing you need to do is figure out the finances. There's some just incredible stories of people you thought were destitute. And once you've done the reconciliation of their finances, you find they're worth like millions. And, I've had, fiduciaries tell me these stories of people that were like that, where they were saving coupons, scrimping, they were worried about their health and all that stuff. And then, you know, when they pass, somebody gets in there and starts going through all their finances, and they find out they're worth like $1.5 million, $2 million. There's no heirs of the estate, you know, this kind of thing. And the money is basically, you know, is going to be, you know, usually given away to God knows what. But, you know, there's really interesting stories, and I can't really go into detail about some of these, but maybe we'll do it at a future date. I've been trying to get one of the fiduciaries I work with, Bill Zor, to come in here. Bill's a local guy raised here in Sonoma County, to chat about some of the stories he's had with managing estates. But it gets pretty much down to, you know, the insurance, how much money is there, and then what the trust wants to do. All right. And, you know, you need to be mindful of things. You know, you just can't have people run into the house and start taking stuff. You know, especially when there's a fiduciary involved or a trust, they need to get into that property right away and get an inventory going and see what's there. A lot of kids think, well, Mom wanted me to have that anyway. They run in there before anybody has a chance to do anything and start grabbing stuff. You know, and if you're an agent involved in the process, you're usually brought into the process after the kind of the dust settles. But you need to be aware of the dynamics of what's going on. I had one trust where we had, you know, four folks, and one of the trustees was not going to be given a large sum of money. They were going to be just given a certain, you know, monthly stipend to take care of that person, you know, for, you know, quite a length of time. And that person was not happy with that. And so, as an agent, you're going to get that. You're going to get why they feel they've been slighted and all this type of thing. You just got to take the high road, guys. And remember, your fiduciary or the trustee is the person, you know, who you are most responsible for, or to, excuse me. So just be aware of that. And it's always exciting when you have, you know, multiple kids, you know, calling you and sending you emails and why haven't you sold our property yet? You're asking too less. You're asking too much. You know, when are we going to get our money? When are we going to get our cash? And all this kind of stuff. So, and then you find out that, you know, the estate has a totally different idea of where that money's going. So you need to be aware of if you're going to have interactions with the, you know, the heirs of the estate, that you understand the lay of the land and you know, make sure you don't say anything you're not supposed to say. But insurance is one of those things where you need to, you know, definitely do, you know, kind of a, what shall I say, reckoning, so you can see just what resources you have to work with. Because I always ask my fiduciaries, is there any money in the estate? Because usually you're getting a property where somebody has passed, and it, chances are it needs a lot of work. It needs to be cleaned out, you know, before you can even put it on the market. Sometimes you'll have an estate that has substantial a bit of money where you may want to come in and almost do like a mini flip on the property so you could get more money for the estate. So there's different ways you can go. Paint, carpeting is usually those things that you like to do, landscaping. But also you may want to do staging. You may want to, you know, redo the kitchen. You know, who knows? I have one property where the people who were there before took the kitchen. There's no kitchen. There's a walls. That's it. And there's little pipes sticking out and electrical stuff sticking out. But there's no kitchen. Yeah, a bummer. Yeah. That's what I said. Oh, bummer. But, you know, so that makes selling the property. So now you have to set the expectation to the seller, which in this case is one of my fiduciaries, that, well, we're not going to be able to get a standard loan on this property. Hence, we're lowering the exposure to the marketplace to get you the most money, because you can't get a standard Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan when you don't have a kitchen. So it's going to have to probably be either a rehab loan, which, you know, are somewhat problematic, or somebody's going to come in and pay cash. And, you know, and the property is, you know, definitely needs work. So it's probably going to be, you know, an investor who's going to come in there and fix it up. Or it could be, you know, a fire victim who wants to be, you know, in a great neighborhood, single level house where they can come in and rehab it, maybe add on to it and this type of thing. So in very well, it could be a cash deal because it's a super area. But these are things you need to relay, you know, as a realtor. You need to give that feedback to your client, in this case, who is the trustee or the fiduciary of the estate. So you've just got to be aware of those things and just what you can do. And you may want to say, you know, why don't we throw a kitchen in here if you have the money? Now, a lot of the times there's really not a whole lot of money. And you're working on a very, very tight budget. So at that point, you may wish to, you know, you could advance some money yourself and clean the place up. I have one property over on Willowside Road, the corner of Willowside Road, which we've had on and off on the market now for a year. And, you know, I think I spent about close to $2,000 just with dumpsters getting junk out of the old barn. And we'll probably spend some more money because the person who's living there will be leaving, and then we'll probably have to clean the place up to bring it to the marketplace. You know, and then there's all sorts of other issues too. This Willowside property, it was a country property. So you as a realtor need to know what you got. So we've done septic reports, well reports, so we can, you know, determine just what we're selling, even though you're selling it as is, and there's not many disclosures you have with a trust sale. Because, you know, usually the fiduciary has no knowledge of what's, you know, on the property. So you need to develop this so you can make sure you keep everybody, you know, full disclosure for yourself as an agent, but also protect your seller from making any faux pas that may get the estate in trouble. So there's all these different things, pretty much the same you would do with any property, but you're working from the standpoint of not knowing anything. So it's more of a discovery process, and that's what you as a realtor can really bring your connections and your resources and your people that you use on a regular basis, you know, into the escrow or into the pre-marketing portion of the property, so you can find out just what it is you got. You know, that one on Willowside, we found out, and, you know, our septic system is kind of non-existent. So most septic tanks are 1,200 gallons. This one is, I think, 80 gallons. So it's, yeah, built in 1924. So there's, you know, a lot of issues with the property. Anyway, so just stay tuned. We'll talk more about this next week. But just want to remind you that we have Lorna Korok. She'll be at our open house today at 1120 Hexham Drive. Price is $765 on that, and it's 2,335 square feet, 10,000 square foot lot. She'll be there 1 to 4 o'clock. Go over and see Lorna and say, hey, Mike told me to come by and say howdy. All right? And bring us an offer on that property. So we'll see you next Sunday. This has been the Real Estate Hour. I'm Mike Kelly. You can always give me a call at 707-322-8503. 322-8503. You can also text. I'll see you next Sunday. This has been the Real Estate Hour.
You've been listening to the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Join Mike every Sunday morning at 9 for tips on buying and selling your home. Call in and ask your questions direct. Don't forget to check in daily with The Real Estate Hour's official blog at therealestatehourblog.com. Mike Kelly on The Real Estate Hour, Sunday mornings on KSRO and KSRO.com.
The preceding was a paid presentation.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Clay Thompson.
I'm Andre Iguodala.
I'm Draymond Green. Hey,